Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I'll be reading from the NIV, which is also the Pew Bible. If you want to follow along, it's on page, 681, but the page isn't numbered. It's the very first page of the New Testament. Yes. Yes, Matthew 1, that's okay. Matthew chapter 1, I might have messed that up. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew. Which says, Mark 1 is not a bad chapter either. But Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. So it is Christmas Eve, and hopefully all your boxes have arrived, all the things you shipped off near and far have been delivered, all your gifts have been acquired. You still have a few shopping hours left, but hopefully nothing was misplaced. The food that you are going to cook tonight or tomorrow, or the place that you are going to go, or the reservation has been confirmed, and everything will go smoothly over the next few days. Unfortunately, the tough part about Christmas is that the world does not take the holiday. There will still be, and I was told this morning, that Keith's brother suffered a heart attack Friday, and is in the hospital. You can't say, "Well, it's Christmas. Please, I don't really want to go to the hospital." People are in the hospital today. Keith has two brothers in the hospital. One seriously ill with cancer. The other is being treated for a heart attack. And so our hearts and prayers go out to you, Keith, and your family. And it is just the truth that we will watch the news tonight and there will be car accidents and there will be crimes and there will be robberies and there will be all sorts of terrible things that probably will happen, because today, unfortunately, as the world spins, is just like every other day. And we have to live in that world. God does not suspend difficulties so that he can be glorified. God does not call a moratorium on sin and say, "You know what? Today we're going to celebrate my son's birthday and no one is going to be allowed to sin. What a wonderful world that would be. But that is not the case. We are faced with difficult choices. We are faced with troubles. We are overwhelmingly causing things to have to be dealt with. In this world, you will have troubles. And even Christmas is a day of troubles. But Christmas also reminds us that God has an answer for us in the midst of those troubles. Amen. And all we need to do is look at Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. I think we would all agree that God's path for us is sometimes perplexing. That we are doing the best we think we can, and yet bad things happen. Sometimes it's our own fault because we don't have all the wisdom in the world. Sometimes it's other people's fault because people sometimes are jerks, and we have to deal with that sort of thing. Joseph himself had a problem. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph and Mary were betrothed, were more than what we would consider today the notion of engagement. It was much more. It was a legal arrangement between really two families, which could last as much as a year, so that a dowry could be given, so that a bride price could be arranged. Not now, Janine, not now. But in the days of Jesus's birth, women were good for childbearing, good for home raising, and not thought much more than that. So if you had a daughter, your goal was to get her married as quickly as possible. And if you had a son, your goal was to find a family that would give their daughter to you with something, some sort of compensation, a goat, piece of land, a blanket, something. And that's the arrangement that Mary and Joseph had. They were legally, but not actually, married. I'm not going to go into all the details, but they hadn't consummated the marriage. And if you're an adult, you know what that means. And if you're not an adult, that's okay. But before the wedding feast, before all the festivities, before they began living together as husband and wife, Mary was found to be pregnant. Now, the scriptures don't say how she was found to be pregnant. It is possible that she started showing that she was pregnant, and voices and questions started being raised. It's possible that she shared with Elizabeth and with others that an angel had appeared to her, and the glory of that angel shone around her, and he spoke and said, "Don't be afraid." We talked about that last week, about how she was going to have a child through the Holy Spirit. But that's what we know to be true. Well, what do? If you are Joseph, you hear what is arguably the craziest explanation ever. Joe, it was God. Do you have any evidence of that? No. An angel came and told me. What do? Well, Joseph weighed his options. And it says in Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He was righteous or just. He wanted to do what was proper in God's eyes. So God's word says, do not associate, do not bind yourself with a sinful woman. He couldn't really marry her, could he? He could not complete the arrangement, knowing that she was likely unfaithful. But at the same time, he was mindful of dishonor and disgrace and disfavor. And he wanted to do what was also protective of Mary. He didn't want her name dragged in the mud. He didn't want her reputation destroyed. Despite the fact that probably his whole life was thrown into turmoil, he is also thinking about how this will affect, how his decision would affect those around him. And he comes up with a solution. I will divorce her quietly. I will go early tomorrow morning to the city gate. I will find some elders of the community. I need three of them to agree with me. If I can get there early enough, and if there's only three there, I could, in fact, conduct this legal arrangement, and only three people would know. And hopefully it's a good three people that will not reveal this whole scandal and discredit and disgrace and dishonor and disfavor Mary. His intention was to make the best of a bad situation. Make the best of a difficult, not really a bad situation, a difficult situation. I don't know about you, but I have times when I am perplexed by God's plan. I have times when I think, I'm not sure what to do. I certainly want to do what God says is right. But I also want to be respectful of those around me. I want to be gracious. The scriptures say, speak the truth in love. Amen. That's what I want to do. But sometimes it's hard. We have questions about our walk with God. Do I do what is right or what is gracious? Later on today, I'm going to have to confront at the dinner. I'm going to be in a conversation at the dinner table with someone who is not living the life God wants them to live. Do I say something then? Or do I wait for a private moment when it's not Christmas? My neighbor parks. My neighbor parks in front of our house. We don't have parking. We have to park on the street. When we get back from church today, there'll be someone parked in front of our house. I guarantee it. And we'll have to walk a couple, probably have to park around the corner. Do I say, it's Christmas, do I say, you know what, this has really, for 4.5 years, this has really bothered me. And I have not said anything till today, because it's Christmas Eve. Or do I let it pass? What do you do? God's path for us is perplexing. Do I pick up and go to be with family, or do I stay and spend the holiday alone? The truth is, though, as perplexing as the plan is, as troubling as relationships can be, As difficult as the options are for the choices we make, God's plan for us is perfect.
Amen.
God sends a messenger. It says in verse 20, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph was sleeping, maybe content with his own choices. Sometimes we make a decision and we are good with it. We get some rest. Other times we make a decision and we are not good with it. And we wrestle in our sleep. I'm not sure which Joseph had, but we do know that whether he was restless or restful, he is awoken, or not awoken, he is disturbed by a dream, interrupted by a dream. Someone who shares some timeless truth. And the first thing that Joseph hears, God knows your name. You realize God knows your name, do you not?
Yes.
It's not, hey you, buddy, buster, pal, miss, honey. I don't think God would use the word honey. Joseph. But then he doubles down. Joseph, son of David, which would have been a term of endearment, a term of favor. You who are in the line of the one I love, you in the line of the one who had a heart after my own heart. Joseph, don't be afraid. Again, I'll speak only for myself, and maybe you will understand as well. I have way more fear than I should. I worry about a lot of things. And what a relief it is. And it's not in an audible voice, it's not in an angel's visitation in a dream, but occasionally, I will sense through reading the scripture or through a contentment in my spirit that I will hear God say, don't be afraid. Stop worrying about this. I have it. Your wife Mary has been faithful. Again, like I said last week, we cannot explain the details, but we can trust that God is telling the truth, and his messenger is telling the truth. He is told, you can take Mary with you. Don't be afraid to take her with you. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Literally, don't be afraid to take her along in your walk of life. And then the angel foreshadows Joseph's future. Not only does he say, Joseph, I know you today, and I know what you're going through today, but he says, Joseph, I know where you will be tomorrow. This messenger that speaks for God, that speaks for the Lord, says, you will be this child's father. You will give him a name. Elsewhere in Scripture, just not far from here, is the story of John the Baptist. And the father's job, Zechariah's job, is to name his son. He's mute because of unfaithfulness, unbelief. And the wives, the women are all talking about what the baby should be named. And when it came time to name that child, Zechariah got a voice and said, "His name will be John." All right, sorry. The father in that time, maybe in this time as well, looks at that child, assesses that baby's character, and said, "This is your name." We sort of do that with our last names. I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to tell people who you are. And he gives him the name Jesus. God is salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. He says this so that Joseph would remember, and us by extension, that God is faithful to his promises. I was talking to the Utes upstairs that during Sunday school. It's a long time to wait for the Messiah. Hundreds of years. Generations waited for the Messiah, and Joseph is told, "Your baby, this baby that Mary is carrying, the one you will father, he is the Messiah. He will be Emmanuel, God with us." So this Christmas, hear for yourself the message from God through the angel that God has for you. That I know your name, and I know your situation. And don't be afraid, because I want to do great things through you. Trust me, God says. I will work all things for good if you trust me. Take Mary home to be your wife. Reconcile with your family. Have the hard conversation in private. Forgive one another. Forsaking the world. Trust in him. And God will make all things right. God will make all things right. He did it for Joseph, and he will do it for you. So the third thing I would like to say is God's plan for us is perplexing, but God's plan for us is perfect, and God's plan for us brings peace. All we know, verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. I have no idea what this means, other than I want you to think of a couple options. One, he slept well, and in the morning got up and said, "I have to go find Mary." That's one option. That's a lovely option. There's another option. As soon as the angel had stopped speaking to him in the dream, he got up. Before dawn. Before he would have gone to consummate a divorce. Before he would have made a mistake. Got up in the middle of the night, knocked on his father-in-law's door and said, "I'm here for Mary." And they're like, "Well, we don't have a dowry yet." "It's okay. I have bigger plans. God has bigger plans for us." We don't know. What we do know is the first thing he did was he went and got Mary to be with him. He took Mary home as his wife. He preserved Mary's honor. And he served as Jesus' father. He gave him a name. We can read later in Matthew, he protected Jesus from the schemes of Herod by carrying him to Egypt. We can read later in the Gospels that he likely sat next to God incarnate in the synagogues. Left them there one time. But he went to the synagogue and the temple with Jesus. Taught him the words that he himself spoke. And he trusted God with his future. From that single moment of hearing from God, he was obedient, experiencing peace, or as the Hebrew word shalom, wholeness, health, contentment. There's no biblical account of his complaining. There's no question about his role. He was given a plan. And God gave him the peace of mind to walk that plan and walk that path. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we don't talk to God about his plan for our lives. When we trust God, like Joseph trusted God, when we are granted peace, our perplexities seem smaller because God's plan is not to eliminate the problems, but to work through them for his glory. Amen. Yes. Our sermon this morning can be summed up in this: doing our part grants us God's peace. God had a plan for Joseph to take on the responsibility of fatherhood. In his obedience, fulfilled God's great plan. A virgin gave birth to a son in Bethlehem, just as the prophets declared. Let me read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The scriptures were fulfilled. A virgin gave birth. O you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the tribes, you will be great, for the Messiah will be born in your midst. And we rejoice because Joseph listened and obeyed. When God's people do what God's command, they know what God commands. They know glorious peace. Doing our part grants us that peace. We can certainly trust in our own wisdom. And maybe we will not worry if it's the right choice. But if you're like me, I'll worry. Or we can trust God and hopefully not worry, but know that peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So follow the example of Joseph. Hear God's word for you. Keep his command to you. And rest in the peace that comes from him. Doing our part grants us God's peace. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate this morning. In whatever difficulties we have, in whatever troubles we have, we trust that you will guide us, that you will grant us wisdom that comes not from ourselves, but from you. That we would not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. That you would direct our path. And that path would lead in peaceful places to the perfect goal you have for us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.